Hey, welcome back, everybody. Time to grab your gear, hit the road, as we travel all over the map with the one family trying to find their forever home. During the craziest of COVID times, they took to the road, and we're with them. Welcome back, Michael and Caitlin Domner. Hey, guys.
Hey, Paul, how's it going?
Well, I'm doing good. I'm just every week wondering how you guys are doing and where you're going. After a couple of weeks of rest and recuperation, after getting sick on your last fairy tale adventure out to the Galapagos Islands, I'm wondering how it was that you decided to jump back on the horse and start riding hard again here. You went down to where?
Yeah, we did. So we're in Quito, Ecuador, and we ended up. So one day we rode the teleférico, they call it, and it's essentially cable cars. One of the longest, or at least kind of highest rising cable cars in the world. We went to the top of the volcano here close to Quito, and we got to ride some horses, literally. So we got back on the horse. We rode for about 3 hours through, it was really incredible. Yeah. Just the crest of a volcano, the clouds were kind of blowing in. So we were riding through mists at times, and, it was all green and, you have the contrast of the green and the black lava rock, and it was just amazing. It was really beautiful.
You made up for not doing much the last week or two. You crammed a lot into what, a 15-hour day?
Oh, then yesterday we went to Los Baños, which we didn't discover why they call it the bathrooms, unless like it's called the bowl of the devil. This little tiny volcano, this little tiny valley at the foot of a volcano. Then there's also a huge waterfall that we got to climb up and stand behind. I didn't catch how tall it was, but it was several hundred feet tall. And it plummets into this swirling circle at the bottom. So we have two theories as to why they call it Los Baños, but it was gorgeous also.
It's a swirling toilet at the bottom here where it all collects. All right. So, but what brought this? All of a sudden last week, you're telling me the value of rest and take it slower and just let it unfold. And all of a sudden you pulled out the travel guides and you did all the fairy tale adventures in one quick span again here.
Yeah. Well, part of it was that we realized that we're planning on leaving Quito on November 7th, which is just a couple days away here. And we were like, well, we've got to do at least a couple more things while we're here in Quito. Since we're here for almost a month and we haven't done much touristing things because we've all been sick or getting better and all the to various degrees. So we just kind of realized that, there were a couple more things that we really wanted to see before we leave on Sunday. And so we did the horse riding one day. That was kind of fun too, because while we were up at the top, we had a beautiful day. The whole 3 hours we were on the horses. We started to walk back down towards the cable cars, and it just started hailing all of a sudden.
Wow!
Out of nowhere, and it was pretty crazy. Like the hail. I mean, they weren't quite golf ball size. They were like marble size hail coming down. So the kids were like ducking under trees and underneath the overhang of the building as we were running back down to the cable cars. And so it was kind of what we got to we're gonna say we got snowed on in the Andes, even though it was hail.
As we were coming down the cable car, we would see lightning like right outside and hear like kaboom, and then everything would pause, the cable car would stop for a few minutes, and then it's like, okay, we didn't get hit, let's keep going. The kids thought it was hilarious.
Yeah You could tell it was literally, I mean, like it would flash and we would just hear this, the loudest boom, right? Almost instantaneously. So it was pretty fun.
So we talked the last time about nonstop adventure, and after a while it gets weary, and after a while it wears you out, or after a while it gets ordinary. Oh yeah, another beautiful beach. Oh yeah, another spectacular scene. Ho-hum, saw four yesterday. Does it rejuvenate you, or if I'm traveling a lot, do you have to sort of stop and smell the roses as you did last couple of weeks and do nothing to suddenly re-energize yourself physically and to suddenly recapture the awe of seeing something great?
Yeah, no question. I feel like having those 2 or 3 weeks of downtime that we had really did re-energize me and the family. I mean, the kids were much more energetic at going toward it. Like by the end of our kind of nonstop adventuring, when we got done at the Galapagos, everybody was just like, I don't want to do anything today. The fact that everybody was really excited to go out and see a new thing this yesterday when we went and just get out and do something again after a couple weeks of downtime, it was kind of that rest and relaxation makes it possible. If we tried to do it, 3 years solid, it just wouldn't be possible. We'd give up after a few months. So yeah. I think that's a big lesson that we've learned, is that we have to take that downtime really to be able to keep going.
And I think that, there's an impulse. I'm just going to interject my own, personal experiences, limited as they are. I haven't taken my kids and gone for extended periods of time, much more like a week or two. But the idea is when you're there, you got to see it all. You even said so. We're leaving soon. The clock is ticking. We may never be back this way again. Or if we do, it's a long time from now because we got a lot of other places to see. So how do you balance that urge to see it all and that need to slow down and see nothing?
Yeah, I don't know that I have a theory on that yet, except listen to your own body and listen to your energy levels. And I think this might be true of just normal life, because even back at home, I pushed the envelope and on every area of my life, physically, mentally, career, vocationally, and it stemmed from this fear that if I stop, I'll never start again.
Yeah.
Right. This fear of stagnation. If I pause, I might never get going. And what I have discovered in those very few moments throughout my life, when I have just let everything grind to a halt, be silent for a few days, in this case, rest for a couple of weeks, the energy always comes back. And that's just, it's almost an act of faith. Like, I am trusting that this curiosity, this adventurous spirit, this desire to grow, to build, these things that I love about myself, they are inherent in my identity. And I can just rest and relax and give myself space to be calm for a little while. And it'll come back. Like, it's not something that I can run out of.
Yeah,
it will rejuvenate itself if I let it.
Well, that's a beautiful way to describe it, because I think we've all experienced that. When things are going good, you keep pushing as hard as you can. Let's see one more thing. Let's have one more meeting. Let's do one more workout regimen. We're always trying to push ourselves. And I think, is that just an American trait, or do you see people doing that all over the world? Is this just a human trait?
I think it's a modern trait. I don't see it as much when I'm in like the rural parts of the country, even rural parts of America, rural parts here in internationally. I think there is sort of this, and I happen to be reading this great book called Authentic Success at the same time. So it's very stark contrast for me, because he points out that we've created all of these innovations to save time. Like, instead of sending letters, we send emails. We can pick up the phone, or if that takes too long, we can send a text message. And all of these things are designed to save time. But what we fill that extra time with is just this need for more productivity. We have to do more in order to, justify that time savings. But then I go through these villages and I see these women, and their entire day is spent washing clothes and making food. Yeah. And that's it. That is all that they can accomplish in a single 24-hour period. And that's fine. They feel fulfilled. Their family is taken care of. They're good. Right. And it makes me realize, like, oh, now that I have a washing machine, now that I have like a meal delivery service, now that I've got all of these conveniences that help me save time, what am I spending the time on? What really matters? And I think for me, this journey is about trying to discover what is that? Is it just spending time with loved ones? Is it exploring? Is it self-development? Like, that's, I don't know that I have an answer, but I think for me, I'm feeling that pull to simplicity, to really identifying what is purposeful, what is meaningful, what matters, and really just trying to cut back everything that doesn't serve those core values.
Well, well said, and something, a point we're going to revisit over and over again, because I think it is kind of a modern, I'll say almost even American disease, that when we have more time, we suddenly feel like we got to use it productively. oh my goodness, right. I can't just sit around and do nothing today because I don't have to wash the clothes and go prepare the meals. I've got to now do something extraordinary with that time. I can't do something ordinary with that time, like just go for a walk or read a book or watch TV or do nothing. That seems like a waste of that added time. We had somebody on one of our shows recently, and I thought, again, I'm always seeing these intersection of different conversations. I feel like I sit at the intersection of all these, you know, trends happening. You guys are certainly part of something. This, we call it the Great Resignation, where people are just dropping out and saying, I'm going to do something different. I'm not going to stay on the same career path, family path, living path. I'm going to go out and find something. You guys are in search of a forever home. People are just trying to find a better job maybe or something, or a different way of working that balances the same things we're talking about, life and work. And this guy said, you know, the promise of technology was that it would liberate us. And yet for many of us, it's just given us added layers of burden. I got to check my email. I got to follow my social media. I got to constantly post and push and gee, everybody else is doing this. I feel bad. I feel behind. I got to go do something here. Is it somehow tying us to a new yoke of burden here? Or are we just beast of burdens that keep tying us? It used to be the 9-to-5 grind. And before that, it was the agricultural grind, the factory grind of just surviving. Now we've freed ourselves from a lot of those burdens. We can work at home. We don't have to spend all day washing the clothes and making the meals. But we have created a new burden that we have to bear.
Yeah, I think a new prison for ourselves. Yeah. And I think we see that even with our children. I mean, looking at how a lot of kids interact with like social media and school, and it starts at a very young age. We're kind of regimented into this, always have to stay busy, always have to be doing something.
Right.
And then with social media, it's always, you know, you're always seeing what other people are doing, which makes you want to go do more.
Right.
And there's never that, I feel like in today's society, it's hard to have those moments of rest and relaxation because there's always a desire or a drive or a feeling like we're slacking off. We're not doing enough. Yeah.
I was just laughing because Michael saw a billboard. Is your pet anxious? And I was like, oh my gosh.
Now my pet's anxious.
The epidemic has spread even to the animal kingdom. This is not good.
This is not good. We're all anxious. Well, I'm not trying to be difficult on you, but I know there's I would feel it. There's an anxiety to get moving. We've taken this leap of faith. We've gone out into the world. We can't just be lazy and ordinary. And yet it can't be nonstop go action all the time either. You learned that. Yeah. So
no, it's definitely finding that very delicate balance. And a lot of it is it's a psychological thing, right? I mean, it's 100% in our heads. And we literally could stop and live here in keto for 2 years. Well, we'd have to figure out the whole residency thing and that kind of thing. But
right.
I mean, literally, as far as like the need or the desire to keep going and see more and do more and live an exciting life, right? Doing it with air quotes, you can't see me, but it really is all programmed into us and figuring that out and deciding what we want to keep of it and what we don't want to keep of it, what adds stress and what adds pleasure and excitement and anticipation and, all the good or quote unquote good things that we think are what we're going to make us enjoy life.
Well, yeah, I call it like the habit of the hamster wheel.
Yes.
Like this prison that we've created is entirely inside of our own mind.
Absolutely.
And whether we're in Los Angeles or we're traveling, I've realized I've brought the hamster wheel with me.
Yeah.
And it's like wherever you go, there you are. Like no matter how far I travel, whether I go to the heights of heaven or the depths of hell, like the thing that follows me is me. And so if I'm unhappy at home, I'm going to be unhappy abroad. And that's, I think, been really critical is realizing like, oh, I've carried my anxiety with me.
Yeah.
I'm doing this thing that I wanted to do, but the anxiety is still hanging on my shoulders.
We came to Guatemala and it found us here too.
Yeah. Darn
and
that
so
anxiety.
It's realizing like, oh, this is an inner game that I have to play.
Right.
But I don't think I realized how acute that was until I ran away from home, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's sort of the Jonah effect. Like you can go wherever you can try and get away from this thing, but it's always going to bring you back. And from my perspective, like, it's just that calling, like, let's face the demons head on. Let's figure out why you can't be grateful and just sit still for a second and breathe and address that proactively.
Well, all of that, you nailed it right there. That's, we carry it with us, and you've carried it onto the road here. But it is a balance, because you don't want to just go to keto and miss all this stuff. You don't want to just sit and let life pass you by, when out the window there's something spectacular. Over the next hill, there's something to see. I get the urge to explore. I get the urge to see and to be productive and to make the most of this experience and all that. But at the same time, if that becomes the new hamster wheel, then you burn out.
Yeah. And I think a key kind of piece in my brain that I had to swap around is, instead of being, instead of having like an anxiousness about keeping up with the Joneses kind of a feel, right? Where it's like, right. I'm doing this because I have to, driven by fear, right? So ultimately, instead of being driven by the fear of missing out or the fear of not doing enough, being driven by curiosity and really being pulled into the experiences that we're having, feeling that it's we're doing it because it's here. We're not doing it because we have some artificial outside pressure that's making us doing it. We're doing it because we love it and we enjoy it. And it comes back to every moment that we're in. If you're not in a state of love and happiness and enjoyment right now, like, you never will be, because now is all that exists. So rather than looking to the future and saying, well, tomorrow when we travel, we're going to really enjoy it, you have to just be present in the now, whether it's the quiet week here in keto where we don't do anything except for kind of recoup and recover and spend time as a family, or when we're riding on a horseback at the top of a volcano in Ecuador, right? You have to find that same level of peace. It's a different feeling. Like, I'd be lying if I said that it's the same level of enjoyment I haven't quite figured that out yet, but just having that, the ability to be present and enjoy every moment for the moment that it is, whether it's, air quotes, good or bad or whatnot, you're throwing up in a toilet or you're at the top of a volcano. Like, you can be present and be happy with where you're at.
I think that's one of the things I've read. I don't know this to be true, but our image of the, I don't want to sound too Western, the third world, the other world other than modern America here, is that they are, for good or bad, they are more present. They are in the moment. They're not worried about what's going to happen in a month. In some cases, it's subsistence. I'm trying to make it through today for Pete's sake. I don't have the luxury of worrying about tomorrow. In some cases, it's tradition. This is the way we've always done it, and this is the way it's going to be. So I'm not looking for that kind of change and to go somewhere. Even I'll give you the example. I went to Ireland the one time. And it's a pretty modern place. It still has a lot of the fairy tale little villages and stuff that you go to see. But it's they're well educated and well paid, and everybody's got a car and a cell phone, and there's no poverty and suffering there, even in these pretty simple rural villages. And yet, most of them, when I'd say, how far is it to the next village? They'd say, I don't know. I've never been there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. There was no impulse to get up and see what's over the next hill. Whereas I wanted to see every village while I was there, partly because I only had a limited amount of time to do it and I wanted to get as much in as I could. Damn it, I got to see it all. And partly because I was curious. I did want to know what, once I saw one, I wanted to see another and another and another. It was an addiction almost.
That is an interesting societal thing to think through, right? Like, what is it in, I feel like most Americans that I know, not all, but I would say most Americans that I know have that sense of discovery and adventure.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'd be really interesting to kind of do some interviews and see where that comes from. I don't know.
I'm like, I wonder if anthropologically, like, the people who came to America had that. And so their ancestors, we just caught it. The spirit of America is dissatisfaction. Like,
yeah, I think it is, because go west, young man, wherever you are, there's always something better awaiting you if you'll only get up and go there. And our ancestors felt that. They would have stayed in the country, in the poverty, in the famine, mm-hmm. in the war, yeah. in the simple life that they lived before, or the complicated, or the whatever it was that drove them out, keeps driving mm-hmm. us today.
And I think this ties back to the idea of, right, like the false thing, prisons that we build in our mind of you have to keep going, you have to have being driven by that is I feel like very, very similarly tied to this vein of discovering and figuring out new things, whether it's for better or for worse, right? Whether it's good or bad, I feel like they're very closely tied together. That dissatisfaction with the status quo, and right. always wanting to find the next thing and do the next thing. And that, yeah, that's interesting.
Well, keep that in mind as you go along, but we'll come right back to where we are, because we are on the road with the All Over the Map family here, and it doesn't end here. I take it keto was not the fantasy you've been seeking here.
No, we've definitely found some amazing things here in keto, and we've actually even looked at some properties and seen some farms that you can get here. But no, I don't think this is quite it. I don't even know if I can really put my finger on why, other than for me, it's just that I want to see more.
But I want to see more, so it goes. Yeah, right. It's back to that. And that's an interesting question. I think that will determine more than anything else. I'm just predicting where you end up. Will it mm-hmm. just be that some point the wanderlust wears off and you say, I've seen enough? Or is it that you will find the Shangri-La fantasy that has it all? I always wonder, I don't tell my wife this, but I sort of wonder at some point in time, you know, having dated and gone out a bunch and been very frantic and very conscious about, I gotta meet new people, and I gotta look for the perfect spouse, and I have lists of things I'm looking for and all that. At some point, you just sort of go, I'm done with this. And somebody comes along and you say, I'm ready to settle down. And you yeah. happen to arrive at the right moment. I hope maybe you were the right person I was always looking for, or maybe you were the one that came along when I was in the right mood. Right now, you're not ready to settle down. At some point, you may be, and you may just, wherever that wheel ends, that may be where you stop. I wonder.
Yeah. And I mean, it may be that the universe works things out, that we run out of juice right at that magical place. Yeah. Like, which one makes is the chicken or the egg? Which one makes it which?
Well, where do we head from here? Because right now we're not in that stage. We're in the wanderlust stage. We're in the what's over the next hill stage here. And
next week we're going to Paraguay, which is we've kind of gone back and forth. I know we had said like Chile, yes. No, Argentina, no. Paraguay is it's about halfway between where we are and Argentina. So we're going to fly to Asunción, which is the capital of Paraguay, and we're going to be there. We're going to go to Iguazu Falls, which is essentially, I mean, it's one of the biggest waterfalls in the world.
Yes.
It crosses the boundary between Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. It's just a huge area. So we're going to go see that. And then from there, we're going to head down to Argentina. COVID willing, and the creek don't rise. We'll be in Argentina in 2 weeks. So,
and I think that's great, because we talked before about when you were just kind of spinning the wheel, where we're going to go next and where can we go next? Because so many places are still closed right now. And I kiddingly said, why don't you go to Uruguay or Paraguay? These are two places that I only know of as names. I don't know anybody that's ever been to Paraguay, ever. You go to Brazil, you go to Argentina, you go to Chile. I mean, those.
Maybe subconsciously we heard you say that. That's how we ended up in Paraguay. I don't know. We were like, you've never heard of anybody. All right. We got to do it. Challenge accepted.
Yeah. I think it's the road less traveled sometimes. I think that's part of the balancing act too. Not just whether do I keep going and when do I stop, but this idea of, do I just do the big bucket list things like everybody, the ones you think, I got to see the pyramids, I got to see, you know, certain things.
Yeah.
Or do you go, what's over there? Nobody goes over there. Well, good. Then
let's put your finger on the globe and spin it. Yep.
Yeah. Right. Well, Paraguay. I'm all for it. Now you got me excited to tune in again next week. Paraguay. I've always wondered what the heck is in Paraguay and why does nobody ever go there?
Water and marshes is in Paraguay. We're excited.
Okay. All right. Well, take us out, Caitlin. What have you? I think you already gave us the philosophical overview here. You know,
Yeah. Today made me want to write a book, like Drawn or Driven, just talking about, are we driven by our demons or drawn by our dreams?
Yes.
And like, I think that that's kind of a universal thing, is you have to figure out how do you release the shadows and the things that you're afraid of, that you're running from, the boogeymen, and how do you just move forward into creating the life that you want?
And I think you can achieve the same results, but you have to make that decision internally, whether you're driven by your demons or drawn by your dreams. I feel like you get to make that shift, and the only change is internally, right? There isn't it doesn't have to be an external lack of motivation. It doesn't have to be anything else. It's just how you motivate yourself, whether you're going to be happy with it or you're going to feel like you're being driven.
Well, it sounds like you're a little both. You're drawn to what's over there, and you're driven to see it all, and you're driven to keep going here. Come hell or high water, as the creek don't rise, as you said, we're going on. Let's go. The pioneer train moves, it rolls on here or something. The impulse to stop. I always wondered the people who came across the country. You know, they started, most of them, the wagon train started at the Mississippi or somewhere around there. And then they went into the Great West, the Great Unknown, the Great Plains, the Great West. And people stopped along the way because there are towns everywhere. And that people just said, this far and no farther. I'm going to stop right here in the middle of Kansas or Nebraska. And yet anybody who's driven through that says, but it's a little nicer if you keep going to Denver and to California and to Oregon and stuff. The weather's nicer. The scenery's better. The whatever. There's an ocean out there. But somewhere along the way, people said, this far and no farther. This is as far as I go. And it was it because the wagon train broke down? Was it because they ran out of steam? Or was it because they were just driven no further and they found that dream, that piece of land?
Yeah, but I feel too like it's perfect, right? Like if we didn't have all those towns in the middle, then there wouldn't have been a supply chain. Like it all works out in the end. It's just to each their own, I think. Yeah.
To each their own. Well, right now you're hungry and itching to go. So Paraguay is next as we ride along with the All Over the Map family as they continue their journey. One country at a time, in search of their forever home. Right here in Orange County's only community radio station, octalkradio.net. Streaming live from the University of California, Irvine's Beal Applied Innovation Center. The most innovative trip I've ever been on. Ride along with us each and every week.